They are where they always are, on the edge of a cliff in October.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. It's all there for you at billcurryford.com. Start your truck shopping, your car shopping at billcurryford.com. Transparent pricing, and you'll get an extra discount for mentioning Joe Bucks Fan. Just reach out to General Manager Sean Sullivan. He supports the website, and he is a huge Bucks fan. And he just wants to help Bucks fans get the best offer and service that they possibly can. And that is at Bill Curry Ford. Now, Buffalo Wild Wings, the world tour of Buffalo Wild Wings by Ira, continues 1 week from Sunday after the bye week in Largo. Bucks Titans, 1 o'clock kickoff. Get there early. Hang out with Ira. He usually has a free gift or two. I think he's got some jerseys coming up for this giveaway. But we'll give you more details on that. And it's all at joebucksfan.com, and visit buffalowildwings.com for the nearest location in your neighborhood. Also, our friends at Pin Chasers, thank you. Their great 60th anniversary is coming up. 60 cent bowling, 60 cent shoes. We're going to have all the details at joebucksfan.com, but get to pinchasers.net. Follow them on Twitter at pinchasers, and we'll talk more about them later. But now, here is the man you've been waiting for. It's Ira. It's Lee DeCamper. It is today's Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Enjoy. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-renowned, the internationally popular Ira Kaufman podcast. Even people in South Korea listen to Ira. We're joined by none other than the custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Buffalo Wild Wings, shall I say. The one and only Ira Kaufman. Ira, that was a disturbing loss.
It's 8 hours later. I ain't over it. I think they left their game plan at Westminster Abbey. They're eating too many fish and chips over there, Lee. I am lucky because I was at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa today, where I bumped into an old Trib colleague, Rick Mayer, who you know, he came with his son. And then a bunch of hardcore, very knowledgeable Buck fans surrounded our table. And we were watching it together. And I got to tell you, the sarcasm, the laughs, we were crying in our beer. Well, yeah. What else can you do?
Yeah.
I mean, one pick after another, Bobo Wilson from, you know, the defense. Lee, they didn't give themselves a beggar's chance to win this game. And I know we could talk about Mike Evans has dropped long, should have been a touchdown, which could have made it close by the half. But you know what? The way the game unfolded, the Bucks weren't going to win this game. Not the way they played. I heard the Bucks post-game show. I think it was Michael Clayton. I don't know what game he's watching. He's trying to say how they almost pulled it out at the end. They didn't almost pull anything out.
He wasn't the only one. So did John Gilmore.
You know what? I think it was Gilmore. Okay. I think it was Gilmore. I apologize to Clayton. I think it was Gilmore, who I normally like. Can you imagine that 4,400-mile charter flight back home?
Nah.
I mean, up front is Arians. You know, he's looking at light. Light's looking at Arians. Yeah. Bowles is looking at the ceiling. Winston's looking at the floor. The drinks are flying. Man. Maybe some fists are flying. The only guy I see there that's ornery out there and, you know, ready to rumble is maybe Ryan Jensen.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking for a fight.
Yeah.
And at this point, I wouldn't mind if a couple others Bucks get into the scrap. Lee, 2-4. We're going to break this down, but I'm going to say it right now. We cannot be numbed to this football franchise and say, well, 2-4, not so bad, a lot of season left. What'd you expect with this schedule? That is nonsense talk. That is gibberish. I believe the 49ers just downed the Rams today.
Mm.
They are 5-0. You know, they got a quarterback and a pass rush and not much else.
Yeah.
I don't see Mike Evans on the 49ers. I don't see Chris Godwin on the 49ers. what do they got? I don't see Lavonte David. So it can happen. It's happened all over this, but it doesn't happen right here in Tampa. Lee, can you put a pretty ribbon on this? Can you help me?
No, I can't put a pretty ribbon on it. And we might as well get to the point here. Jameis, you know what? I believe Jameis will have this year with the Bucks. Is this a pattern? Some say yes. Some say we'll see. He was playing better. But you know what? If he has another one of these games, he's not coming back next year. I understand you don't want Mariota. You know, people scream and holler about turnovers. Mariota doesn't turn the ball over. He also doesn't score.
He was also benched today.
Yes, he was benched because he doesn't score. You know, at least Jameis can score, but can he get over the turnovers? You know, there's quarterbacks, supposedly a bunch of quarterbacks available in the draft, and the Bucs now have two wins. You know what? They got a puncher's chance to get a decent quarterback if they collapse. I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying they should tank. But you know what? I'm going to say this right now. The Glazer family is predictably unpredictable. I don't think it's a lock that both Light and Arians come back next year. A reason why I say it, and a lot of people, and I don't understand why people ask this, because it's like asking, what horizon does the sun rise in the morning? You know, people, I don't understand why Jason Light's still here. How many times do the Bucks, specifically Arians, have to say because he wanted them here? Then, you know, they might as well start putting billboards on US 19. Light's here because Arians is here. You know, I believe that if Light's gone, Arians is gone. And Arians had a quip recently, if not this past week, the week before. I'm trying to remember where. It was like off the cuff. He said, I might be fired this year. I want your response on that.
That, I think, is the least unlikely. Now he could step down.
Least unlikely meaning what?
Arians getting fired is the least unlikely scenario.
You think he will be back?
If he wants to. If he wants. He may walk away. He may say, I can't do this.
Especially to get rid of Light.
Now, let's talk about Light for a second. Lee, after the Rams game, I was starting to think, you know, hey, this year's not turning out bad for Light. Winston's played three good games in a row. Hargraves made a play against Carolina that saved the day. A couple of other guys, Ronald Jones, doesn't look like a bad draft pick. Things were looking up for Mr. Light. Two freaking weeks later, Lee, the number one overall pick in the 2015 draft, and you might say that was Lovie Smith's pick, but Light was the general manager.
And Light was behind it.
Light was behind it. He don't look good right now. He doesn't look good. He's played six games. I said this in my column, and I'm going to stand by it. Two of those six games were terrible. Week one and today. Mm-hmm. I didn't like him in New Orleans. I give him a C if I want to be kind. C don't cut it for the number one overall pick, by the way. Not good enough. Hargraves is getting picked on him unmercifully from the first snap today, and that was no coincidence.
No, they were out to get him.
And where's O.J. Howard? Where's O.J. Howard?
Well, we can talk about that.
That doesn't look good for Light. And Devin White, your guy, is not overly noticeable right now.
He showed up today. I'm not going to hammer him. He showed up today. O.J. Howard, there's been a couple people I've talked to, and simply put, O.J. Howard has been scaled back because they need him for blocking. And you can take the next step to say that Arians doesn't trust his offensive line. Well, as John Gilmore said today, and Gilmore was one of the two I mentioned previously, Gilmore said today that offensive line, with the injuries to Dotson and the injuries to Alex Cabb, is such a train wreck right now. They're going to go max protect, and you can forget about any tight end, a quality blocking tight end running routes. You can forget about that.
All right, I'm going to give you the same line, Lee, that you've used.
But I'm like you. They should be using Howard different. I understand what they're doing.
I'm going to give you your own line that you've used successfully, I think, for a couple of years, about Hargraves. They didn't draft Vernon Hargraves to be a slot corner.
Yes.
They didn't draft O.J. Howard to be a blocker.
They said
he was an instant mismatch. Mm-hmm. He's a monster downfield.
And he is.
And I don't think he's that great a blocker.
Well,
better blocker than Brait, but he's not a great blocker.
Alclair is a better blocker, to be honest with you.
I think Brait's a better football player than O.J. Howard right now.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. I do not disagree. I do not disagree. And that's not a slam to O.J. Howard. That's more of a slam at Leftwich. And by the way, I'm going to get this out of the way about Leftwich. I always had the sneaking suspicion that Arians, part of the reason he elevated Leftwich to where he is to try to grease the wheels for him to get a head coaching job. Right now, the only head coaching job he's going to interview for is University of Illinois.
And the same with Bulls.
Bulls, at least running defense, is excellent. But where's the pass defense? And I'm starting to wonder, are you putting such emphasis in stopping the run that you're neglecting the pass? And, well, by the way, it's a passing league. So
how can they be in so many third and sevens, the opposition, and move the chains like they are?
I know.
Let's talk more about Winston, Lee. For every Winston apologist, and yeah, I'm talking to the Winston apologists out there, they're going to say that he threw for 400 yards on Sunday in London. Here's what I'm going to say. He's been intercepted 10 times this year. 6 games.
Yeah.
That's not a good ratio.
No.
Number two, you know how many times he's been sacked, Lee?
Ooh.
25. 13 the last 2 weeks. 13. Lee, he's hearing footsteps when they're not even there. He doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. He moved better in the pocket. He had more pocket awareness 2-3 years ago than he does now.
Yeah.
He's running into sacks.
He might be turning into David Carr syndrome, where he hears footsteps that aren't there. He may be.
And you know what? He's not overly accurate.
No.
He threw a beautiful ball to Evans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was not an easy catch, but it's a catch Evans has to make.
He had both hands on the ball.
Evans has to make that catch.
Yeah.
The pick by Kuechly, I don't know what Jameis was doing. I guess another pick, his arm got hit.
Yeah.
But the Kuechly one?
No.
I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And Kuechly is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. He'll be voting for
him. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Uh-huh. He's a Hall of Famer. The last couple of weeks, no running game.
Well, and part of the reason I say this is because people at One Buck are jumping up and down like they've got Walter Payton and Gale Sayers on the roster. I mean, have any of these guys run for 100 yards yet this year? Any one of them, have they? I'm not saying they're bad. Ronald Jones has improved. But gosh darn, you know, my standard, you know, let's put this, Ira, would you vote for any of those two guys for Pro Bowl right now?
No, of course not.
That's what I mean. When people say, how come you're down on the running backs? And I'm not saying they're bad, but my idea of good is you possibly are a Pro Bowler, you know?
I think, Lee, from a defensive perspective, I think it's very hard to grade them today. It's hard. I don't think they played well.
They got painted into a corner.
But
you're right.
You got to cut them some slack.
Yeah. They got painted into a corner right off the bat. They got painted into a corner. You know?
I mean, seven giveaways. Seven giveaways.
Yeah, I mean, you give the defense some credit. Right away, Jameis throws a pick. They hold him 3 points. That's a win.
You're right. Now, they did give up a 99-yard touchdown drive.
Well,
that can't happen.
You're setting me up here. I'm going to say this right now. I had to do something Sunday morning. Let's just say it was a business meeting.
Was it in church? Was there a church?
No, no church. Well, yeah. Yeah, there was beer there. So, yeah, a church was involved. At any rate, I'm listening to Deckerhoff and the 99-yard drive that Carolina had. And when they, you know, put the ball down on the one on the punt, boy, Deckerhoff was going, oh my gosh, what a great play. Oh, special teams. Oh, you know what? If you have to go over the top, you're confused about how wonderful your special teams
is. Look at Pinion. He pinned them, you know.
Yeah. It's like, you got problems. If that's the only thing you could find to talk about as a punter did his job and put the ball on the 1 yard line, you've got some issues on your team.
Now, Lee, speaking of, let's not overlook this. You mentioned it. First snap interception. Lee, I said this in my column. I mean, it's a funny line, but it's true. Three guys that were around the table said 15 minutes before the game, Winston's first pass is going to Mike Evans. They said it, three of them. So if they're thinking about it, what do you think the defensive coordinator, when Evans gets blanked, and you know the way Winston's mind works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it came from Leftwich, I don't know if it came from Arians, or I don't know if it came from number three, but whoever it came, it was way too predictable.
Yeah.
Way too and Bradbury, you know. Now, Evans didn't have a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a terrible drop. He was productive.
Mm-hmm.
Godwin's played better than Evans. Nobody can argue with that.
Yeah,
nobody.
He's excellent this year, yes.
Mm. You know.
You got Chris Godwin. You got O.J. Howard. You got Mike Evans. If Arians is offensive guru that everybody says he is, and I'm not saying he's not, how is it so stinking difficult you can't find a way to get those three guys on the field running pass routes? Couldn't you put Howard in the slot? I mean, I love what Chris Godwin's doing. And I'm a firm believer in you don't fix what's not broken. And Godwin's not broken. But why can't he play on a wideout? Why can't he play on a wideout and you have Howard lining up in the slot? Why is that so difficult or impossible or such a mountain to climb?
Not only that, Lee, and here's one point that is easily overlooked, and I know it's driving you up a wall because we were talking about it at Wild Wings, and we can't understand it. Do you have to be locked in on Scotty Miller five times a game? What's going on over there?
Him and Bobo, what's the deal?
There's no separation.
No, he's
with
not.
With Miller, there's no separation.
I've never seen him get separation yet. But, and then, you know, Aarons talks about not forcing the ball. You're forcing the ball to Miller. He's not getting separation.
He really is forcing the ball to Miller. And that brings us to your man, Bobo Wilson.
And I'm not anti-Bobo, but what's the point? What's the point?
He fumbled the punt before that.
I know.
What killed me, Lee, and it still kills me, unless you're playing in a wind tunnel, the Meadowlands in December. And I've been there many times.
Yeah.
But unless you're doing that, you know, Lambeau in January, you got to get your body in front of the ball as it's coming down. The second fumbled punt by Wilson, He caught it to the side of him. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his body in front of him. That's football 101. Mm-hmm. Did a sudden gust of air fill the stadium and a little Tottenham? They got to do better than that, Lee. Can't they do better than Bobo Wilson? I mean, come on.
When's the last time he's had any kind of return? I can't remember.
I mean, he's Adam Humphries with bad hands.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. The more I think about it. Yeah. But I'll get this one liner out of the way. You've been in the Meadowlands so much that when you go there, you still bring flowers for Jimmy Hoffa.
Not bad, Lee. Not bad. Offensive line. Obviously, right side.
Yeah, this,
but I didn't think Marpet had one of his better games.
He didn't. He struggled. McCoy, yeah,
McCoy. What about Mac getting 2.5 sacks over there, Lee? His first 2.5 of the year.
Well, he credited it because he said he figured he knows Jameis, and he said, "Well, Jameis only steps up in the pocket." Well, what quarterback does?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
And you know, here's the shame of it, and you know this better than anybody. They did another excellent job on McCaffrey. Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't care that he scored 2 touchdowns. One was from a yard out. I'm still not sure he got in.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get a good angle where you saw his knee down. Mm-hmm. You know, the other one was a nice play by McCaffrey. He spun away. Hargraves on the ground. You know, spinning like a top. Great play by McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee, the guy got 55 yards of total offense. He's killing people every week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like they're not. The Bulls defense isn't doing anything.
Correct.
Run defense is very good.
It's excellent.
They're shutting down the number one weapon of the other teams.
Mm-hmm. Which is a
Belichick move, except Belichick don't give you much besides that. and they're going to town besides that. That quarterback didn't look bad, Lee. Undrafted free agent. He's played 4 games. They're 4-0, and he has not thrown one single pick.
See, that's what's hurting Jameis so badly. You have all these quarterbacks in the league. You know, you have guys like Deshaun Watson, who had a wonderful game against the Chiefs. He wasn't a number one pick. Was he drafted 12th, I think? He's making James look like a pauper. Kyle Allen.
Sam Darnold looks good when he's healthy.
But he was a number one pick. What I'm saying is it looks bad for Jameis when guys are picked middle of the lower first round or they're off the street like Kyle Allen and they're making Jameis look bad. And that's not good for Jameis.
Jimmy G looks good in San Francisco.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people thought Jimmy GQ was going to be that quarterback. You know, he showed something at New England, and that's what they played. Traded the second round pick for Jimmy GQ. It just all these quarterbacks.
The Bills are 4-1 with Josh Allen. Who's Josh Allen?
Allen? So all these things are just—it's adding up to not looking good for Jameis. And going back to the Glazer family, I'm not about to suggest I know what they're going to do. I'm not about to suggest I think I can read the tea leaves with what Team Glazer is going to do. As I said before, they're predictably unpredictable, but they're looking around the league, and they're like, what's going on? Like, 3/4 of the teams don't have a number one overall quarterback, and they've got so much better quarterback play.
You know,
He's in contract year, we all know.
You know, and I know that when push comes to shove, and you're not going to disagree with me on this, it'll be Arians' call. Yes, it'll be Arians' call. And right now, I can't see in a private meeting, you know, with Bruce Arians and Joel and Brian Glazer and Avi, that he's going to go to bat for Jameis Winston because he's going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
He's going to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you if you were Bruce Arians?
Sure. I think we know Arians well enough to know he's not going to sugarcoat it in a private meeting. He's going to say what he thinks. You know, honestly,
he might say that he's not the guy.
Yeah.
He's not the guy.
All right, just a very quick break here. Ira and Lee will be back. Ira's got so much to talk about on the offensive line, more on Jameis and other insight. Great podcast here today. Subscribe for your free alert at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, same thing, Google Play, Podbean, other platforms. We appreciate the many thousands of listeners that have kept Ira coming into the Google Play top 50 nationwide, all genres, steadily, including last week. So we appreciate that. Buffalo Wild Wings, remember the world tour where you get to watch a Bucks game with Ira and hang out with him, and he usually has some great gifts with him. Next up is Largo, and that is at the end of this month for the Titans game, 1 o'clock kickoff, get there early. And Pin Chasers, let's hear more about them, and then we'll get right back to Ira. Pin Chasers is your home for Thursday night bowling, unlimited bowling every Thursday night at Pin Chasers, $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl. The details are all at pinchasers.net. Free shoes, as always. It's available at all three Tampa Bay area locations. And that's just one of the daily specials at Pin Chasers. Check them all out, including two on Sunday. Pinchasers.net is the website. Pin Chasers, more than 60 years serving the Tampa Bay community.
After today, I'm not convinced both Light and Arians will be back. I really am not. Only because you can make an argument, and you can make a really good argument, why they shouldn't be. You could also make an argument why they should be. But if you're the Glazer family, and you just spoke about it, if they think they're done with Jameis, and Arians comes out and says, yeah, bring him back, they might just say, we're moving on.
That's an interesting scenario.
I'm just not convinced that it's a lock that both Arians, like Ian, you said earlier, Arians may just say to heck with it. I'm not suggesting they should be fired. I'm not suggesting they will be let go. What I'm saying is, if I get a phone call, which is happening when Lovey got fired, I get a phone call from the Bucks and they say, hey, we just want to let you know we let Lovey go. If I get a similar phone call at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of January, I'm not going to be shocked.
If they go 5-11, Lee, somebody will have to take the fall, and I think it'll be Winston. If they go 5-11, Winston will take the fall.
And if Arians, like you said, if Arians wants him back and they say no, well, then he may quit.
Yeah, he may quit because the Glazers will talk to other people, too, about Winston. What do you think about Winston? They got a little cabal that they talk to. You know, and it might involve Bill Belichick as an advisor.
It does, because he just sold him on Shiano.
Yeah. You think there's a possibility they would part company with Arians if Arians wants to stay? They haven't dumped their coach after 1 year. Not after one year.
Well, this is why I say that. You know, a lot of people say, well, he just signed a contract. Well, first off, we don't know the details of that contract. Oh, they signed Jason Light to a 5-year contract, which I think matches Arians. 5-year contract. We don't know the details, meaning it could be a series of 1-year contracts. So that's an out for the Glazers. We don't know the details. So it's not like, oh my gosh, the Glazers are going to pay Light and Arians 5 years of salary to go away.
They've proven they don't mind firing a guy with years left on his contract. They have proven that. They do it all the time.
And the proof is, the moment this franchise turned the corner from respectable to laughingstock, the day they fired Chucky and Bruce Allen, a year before they fired him, they signed him to an extension. And so that right there is evidence that shows.
And then they won 9 games and fired him.
Winning record. They fired him.
I don't want to pick on him because he's been so fantastic, but he is a shrinking man, and that's Shaq Barrett. It's a shrinking man. I will say part of it, maybe a big part of it, the last 2 weeks when you don't hear his name is teams are committing extra resources for Shaq Barrett.
Wouldn't you? Oh, of course. They're game planning against him.
I thought Nassib played well today. Nassib showed up okay. Yeah. But as a whole, two sacks, Allen was not under tremendous duress like Winston was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he didn't have as much time as Bridgewater, but he had too much time. He had too much time.
Oh, Allen,
Allen had too much time. And that's a problem. Are they going to wait and hope JPP comes back? I mean, maybe he will.
I heard Arians on the postgame show. He was like, evidently he thinks JPP is going to be just fine. Now, he has access to information none of us have. So maybe JPP is going to be that guy. And by the way, JPP was videotaping himself on Instagram watching the game. He was all fired up. So he's emotionally involved.
Where was he? Was he in London?
I don't know where he was. May have been home. But he was like, you know, he would have like a split screen on his phone. He's watching the game. You see the game going on. Then he's giving commentary. He was fully involved. He was emotionally involved. But You know what? By the way, Sunday night it came out that the Cardinals are going to listen to offers from Patrick Peters. If you're Jason Light, if you don't do something to fix the secondary, if you don't do something to fix the right side
of
the
offensive line. Who knows Peterson better than Arians and Bulls?
Well, of course. But what my point is, if Jason Light doesn't get anyone competent, and there's competent cornerbacks out there, competent. I'm not talking about Pro Bowlers, but starters who are not don't go out and embarrass themselves every week. If he doesn't go out and get a competent corner, if he doesn't go out and get a competent offensive lineman, you know, in this interim with Dotson being hurt, and who knows when he gets back, and Kappa, until he gets back, what's going to miss 3 or 4 games? If Light doesn't do that, that tells me he's playing for the draft. That I'm going to say it right now. Jason, if you don't do something from one of those two areas, that tells me you don't care, you're happy with what you have, which means you're playing for the draft. No one could be content with the secondary. No one could be content with the right side of the offensive line.
Lee, Arians has the clout. There's no question about it.
Well, he can see the same
thing. And if Arians says, I want Peterson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And the Glazers know that. And Light doesn't produce or at least make a credible offer to Arizona. Now, look, I'm not giving them 2 number 1 picks for Patrick Peterson.
Oh, no, that's crazy.
But this team needs help. The season is not over.
No.
It's a bye week. The schedule's not bad. The final 10 games, it's not bad. I think it's good. Go win in Nashville. They stink.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta stinks.
Yes.
Arizona stinks.
Yes.
You know, although they beat Atlanta. They just beat
Well.
Atlanta. And Atlanta stinks, and you're playing them twice. Lee, this season is not over.
No.
We kind of gave up on the Bucks after the Giants debacle, and they went out
and look what they did to the Rams. Yeah. I guess it's fair to say the Bucks minimum have to win 6 games after their bye. Minimum. That would bring them to 8-8. Anything less than that, obviously, it's not going to happen.
Arians called the secondary soft last week. Who knows what kind of language he's going to use this week.
What'd you think of all the tap dancing after he said that when Bowles, he didn't mean it the way you guys took it. And
well, I think it's a case of Arians speaking his mind,
yeah.
which is why we love him.
Yeah, he raw emotion after a game.
And, Bowles is trying to do, a PR control over there.
Sweep up the doggy do on the sidewalk, huh?
I'm surprised Bowles says anything. You don't get much out of him at the podium.
Well, it seems like the one thing he says is he's cleaning up for Arians. Other than that, he doesn't say anything.
What's going on with Hargraves? What's going on? Does he just not have it as an outside corner?
I think so. You know, I'm not saying I know Hargraves.
Do you think Ryan Smith deserved a shot today at some point to play him a little bit?
Yeah.
He's a special teams terror. He's working his buns off.
He's very good at special teams. He's very good. Say what you will about his cornerback play. He's very good at special teams. You know, I've had some readers of JoeBucksFan.com.
Maybe he'd be better in the Bowles system than he was in the Mike Smith system. Give him a chance.
We don't know until he goes out there, right? We had some readers on JoeBucksFan.com. You know, they think Hargraves is tanking it. And I don't get that impression whatsoever. I mean, this guy, you know, one reader, he was saying, oh, Hargraves is a dumb player.
He's not dumb.
He's a coach's son.
He's not dumb.
Yeah, I first of all, I think he's very intellectual, number one. Number two, I think he hustles. I really do. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It just doesn't have it. Some guys do. Some guys don't.
2 points, Lee. I want to run it past you quickly. Some of the chatter at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, we're like the jury over there. You know, we were watching the games and the fur was flying. The invectives were flying. Mm. And these, you know, these are hardcore Buck fans.
Yeah, getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning, going to a bar.
That's right. And they weren't serving any alcohol till 11. So they were more hacked.
Hillsborough County Blue Laws. Yeah.
All right. 2 things. One. With about 8 minutes left in the game and the Bucks down, I thought they should have put Griffin in and give him some experience. Oh, let me hear me out. I said, put Griffin in. Let this kid throw his first NFL pass that counts. And then after the game, say Winston is going to be the quarterback in Nashville. That is what you do. That is how you handle it. We wanted to give Griffin some experience. We thought the game was out of hand. He didn't do that.
You bring up something I thought about. Not necessarily Griffin.
But you got to say Jameis is going to be our quarterback. You have to do that.
I think you're sort of answering your own question. I think the main reason why Arians did not do that is one word, confidence. And that brings me to a story I read last week. Albert Breer wrote it for Sports Illustrated. He talked to Brady Quinn, Tim Couch, and David Carr.
About classic bus.
Yeah, who were very, very talented, highly sought after. And there's like three common denominators that you could literally include Jameis in this discussion. One was they got beat to hell.
Bad offensive line.
They got beat to hell. Number two, bad organizations.
Bad teams or bad organizations?
Both. Couch went to the Browns at the time, were an expansion franchise. And Quinn went to the Browns too. So, and Carr was an expansion franchise. He got beat to hell. And the third common denominator, all three of them said this. And this is just what I said a second ago. And this is what Arians is working on with Jameis. Confidence. All three of those quarterbacks said their confidence. Joey Harrington was in there in that group as well. Joey Harrington.
He was the number three overall.
Yeah, now Harrington, I'll be honest with you, I thought he was a drop back quarterback, and he went to a West Coast offense. Mariucci was at Detroit. He never recovered, and he admitted that he was one of these guys. He didn't have a deep passion for football. He got, you know, a couple of nice checks, and he thought, you know what, this is seed money to help my family out, and he really wasn't motivated. To his credit, he admitted that he didn't have the passion that these other guys did.
Well, Winston's not like that.
No, just the opposite, actually. So, with Quinn, with Tim Couch, with David Carr, you can include Jameis if you think about it. Bad organization. I hate to say it, Bucks fans, this is a bad organization. There's a reason why this team has the worst home record since Chucky was fired in the NFC. There's a reason why they haven't been in the playoffs in 11 years. This is a bad organization. So, Jameis, like those other three, bad organization. I haven't been this way, but many people are. They hit the offensive line. And you talked about Jameis's sacks. And number two, confidence. Aaron has already talked about his biggest task was to build Jameis's confidence back up.
Lee, one other point that was well said. I did not see that Breer article. Now, maybe I'm off base here, but when they scored and got within 11, two-score game, they didn't do an onside kick with about 4 minutes left. I didn't understand that.
No.
Now, they did get the ball back on a three and out, so maybe, you know, in the end it didn't matter, but wouldn't you have done an onside kick?
Yeah, I would have.
I thought he was like conceding the game or something.
And by the way, almost, yeah. And by the way, give credit to the defense. They got the three and out.
They got the three and out.
Yeah, yeah. So, although they didn't do it enough earlier, they got when they needed.
But it still took a minute and a half off the clock.
Sure. It shaved precious time off the clock. So, Ira, where do they go from here? I mean, my gosh, I mean...
By the way, I'm 0 for 6. I'm 0 for freaking 6.
Javier's mocking.
Picking Bucks games.
Javier's
killing me. I don't care what happens during... I don't care if they get Patrick Peterson and Tom Brady. I'm going to pick the Titans. I'll give you an advance notice right now because too many Buck fans are screaming at me. You're killing us, Kaufman. Stop picking the Bucks. So, okay, I will.
Well, now I got to ask you the atmosphere at Buffalo Wild Wings. Steve Esbitz, my cohort at JoeBucksFan.com, he said, he emailed me, texted, he communicated with me last week when he said, I can see the apathy coming. If they lose this, they go into a bye. Here comes the apathy. What was the demeanor like in that bar, in that restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings, from the start of the game to the end of the game?
Well, people got excited when Jones scored to make it 10-7. People got excited when it looked like Evans was going to catch that touchdown and make it, 17-14 by the half. But after the third, fourth, fifth Jameis turnover, apathy, blaming the officials, the weather's not helping us. I mean, all the classic Buck stuff came out. They're fatalistic. I think that might be the word. They're fatalistic.
That's a perfect
word.
They're
kind of expecting the worst.
That's a perfect word. They are.
They expect
Bucks
the
fans
worst.
Are. Yeah. I hate to use this term. but I thought it was right on. It was a commenter on JoeBucksFan.com. Bucks fans have battered wife syndrome.
That's a serious subject, yeah, but yeah. I understand it.
Yeah, I understand. That's why I say I hated to use that term.
They're beaten down.
Oh, my gosh.
And people think we're too negatively. We're too negative, but...
Well, can I let the cat out of the bag?
They lost 3 out of 4 after the Carolina great victory.
Can I let the cat out of the bag?
Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
Joe Bucks fan, as does every other media outlet that covers the Bucks, we make money when the Bucks win. We make money when the Bucks win. We don't want to be negative. And if people look at the week after a win this year on JoeBucksFan.com, try to tell me there's not a difference in the writing. We're like Bucks fans. We are Bucks fans, but we're like Bucks fans. It's a roller coaster. And you know what? All the negative stuff, to quote Bill Barcells, you are what your record says you are.
Did you hear a contrary word after the Rams game? Nothing.
Yeah.
Everything's beautiful. I know, everything's perfect. Yeah. Look at that. I gave the game ball to the offensive line, and you said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
What is Al McGuire? What was the famous Al McGuire saying? Rainbows and balloons, something like that, you know?
It's not, Lee. It's not over. You know, we'll talk later in the week about the
But they're behind the eight ball.
But, again, they dig a hole. And you're the classic guy, like, can't you get out of September with a winning record? I think, Lee, I think you'd agree with me. One thing we can say, I would say with almost absolute certainty, 95% certainty, they can't win this division. They cannot win this division.
No.
The Saints are too good,
yes.
And the Bucs aren't good enough. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yes.
We're not going to argue about that.
Yeah. The Saints would have to collapse, and I don't see that happening.
They got a heck of a defense, New
Orleans. Yes. Yes.
They won a defensive struggle today. Wait till Breeze comes back.
Two out of the last three games, they won defensive struggles, did they? Wasn't the Cowboys a defensive struggle? 13-10, I believe.
They get good players, Lee. They're a good organization. Yeah. Peyton Sharp, you know.
Well, people get mad at me because I didn't want Devin White. And I didn't want O.J. Howard. But once he was on the team, I want them to be Hall of Famers. And the reason why, unlike the Saints, the Bucs just don't. Their drafts just seem
haphazard.
Yeah, it's like there's no direction. And critical needs year after year are unaddressed. Where the Saints, they need pressure. What do? They go out and get Davenport. They need a running back to go out and get Kamara. You know, Sean Payton doesn't fool around. And I guess from my understanding, the unsung hero in New Orleans, and his name has escaped me, I want to say Jeff, he used to be a GM of the Dolphins, got run out of Miami.
Zilgut?
No. Uh-oh. GM.
Ireland?
Ireland, Jeff Ireland. And everybody says that's the unsung hero. Because the last two or three drafts have been fantastic.
I think Mickey Loomis has the title.
Yes.
But Ireland might be pulling some strings back then.
Yes, yes. That's what I hear. And so here was a guy that got run out of Miami, deservedly so.
They look like the best team in the NFC.
Yes.
They look like the best team
in the
NFC.
Who's going to beat them right now? I don't see anybody.
Yeah, Dallas is folded. Philly got pummeled today. Their defense isn't very good. The Rams aren't as good as they used to be. I don't see the Niners beating the Saints in the playoff.
No.
I don't see that.
Me neither.
You know.
But yeah, you see other teams with lesser talent to some degree, and they're able to get wins. And here the Bucs are, and it's SOS. You know, there's like a gerbil on the wheel.
Lee, if they make a move or two during the bye week and go out and beat Tennessee, all of a sudden, all is not lost for this season. All of a sudden, the season has a different look to it, I think.
I want to agree with
Although
you.
Although going to Seattle is a tall order. It's a tall order.
I want to agree with you, and I really want to agree with you, but I think this game has done... Are you talking about reality or fan views?
Well, I'm talking about maybe meaningful games past Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you're right. From a fan point of view, I think what we were talking about just a moment ago, they're so beaten down that it's going to take a whole lot more than beating Tennessee to give the fans any glimmer of hope.
By the way, when they come home, and you know, I feel bad for Brian Ford, who does a good job. He works hard. And Lee, can you imagine the crowd if the Bucs are, say, 3-5? They could even be 2-6. I don't think they're going to be 4-4, and neither do you. Mm. So let's say they're 3-5. Let's say they beat Tennessee and lose to Seattle. Here comes Arizona. They don't travel. There's no Arizona fans.
No.
Lee, that's a 30,000. That's 30,000 fans in that stadium.
Yeah,
it could be really bad.
Yeah, I hear you on Chris Russell's show, Mad Dog Show. I'm just not hung up on butts in the seats. I think we just live in a different age, different.
Well, planet. It probably doesn't affect your bottom line nearly as much as it used to.
Well, you know, yes, I agree with that, and I'll give you some information.
But the fans notice it. I mean, the players notice it.
The players notice it, but you know, they got bigger things to worry about than who's watching them. Andrew Brandt,
Andrew Brandt is sharp.
Yeah, he works for Sports Illustrated. He had a column about 2 months ago, and he linked to this site. And it's some kind of legal site. They do work for the NFL, and it was a paper site, so I didn't drop the $30 or whatever it costs. However, he said, according to this site, NFL's gross revenue from attendance, 16%.
Wow.
So that shows you why there's no blackouts. They got rid of the blackouts because it doesn't mean anything, Lee, relatively speaking.
Lee, is it a stretch to say that could be to the detriment of the way some owners run their franchises, where... they're going to make their money anyway from television,
And, oh, I see what you're saying.
They don't have that great motivation.
You know, that my dad always said that about Bill Bidwell years and years and years ago. Bill Bidwell, who recently passed away.
Reputation was he was a cheapskate.
Yeah. Where do the Bucks go from here? Do they have a prayer of a wild card? Is Jameis going to... You know, that's one thing about Jameis. Has, for all his interceptions, for all his fumbles, you could almost live with that if he was getting wins. But he's not putting the team on his back. Well, what's going to happen? Is Jameis going to put this team on his back? Is he going to turn the corner? Should fans start studying about the draft?
Lee, I go back to Winston's post-game, and I believe it was after the Giants game, when they blew an 18-point halftime lead and game missed the game, potential game-winning field goal. I think that was the game where Winston said at the podium, you know, if a team just beats you and they're better that day, it hurts, but you can live with it and move on. What chews you up inside is when you feel you gave it away. Those words are going to come back to haunt Winston if he doesn't turn this around, because they gave it away today, to a certain extent. They gave it away in the Saints game. They certainly gave it away in the Giants game. Winston is part of that, certainly a big part of it today. And they gave it away in the Niners game, in game one.
Yep.
So Winston's words are going to come back to haunt them, Lee. I think it's very fragile right now. They could lose Buck Nation. If they lose to Tennessee, all bets are off. Nobody's going to show up, you know, against Arizona if that happens. And, you know, our good friend, Sean Sullivan, you know, GM of Bill Curry Ford, and famous for concierge service. And, you know, I highly recommend. I went to their showroom and it's fantastic. He is an unbelievable Bucks fan.
Oh.
He bleeds Bucks. And you know it better than anybody.
Yeah.
And he's beside himself. He's absolutely beside himself. He was so upset after the Giants game, he told me he wasn't even going to watch the Rams game. I'm sure he did. And was happy about it. And now he's got his heart broken again by this damn football team. Lee, they are where they always are, on the edge of a cliff in October. Yeah. Why is it always like that, Lee?
I don't know. You know, I want your reaction to this, and we'll close out the podcast. You brought up Jameis Winston's words and what he said against the Giants game. The last game of his rookie year, when he stood at the podium. You were probably there. You were probably there. It was at Carolina. He stood at the podium. He banged the podium and said, when people start caring about wins as much as the coaches, we'll be a good team. And even the people that didn't want Jameis probably said, that's my quarterback. And look how things have changed now.
Lee, he said it himself even today in London. Got to protect the football. Got to give your team a chance to win. Say what you want. Mike Evans drop. Say what you want. Hargraves issues. Say what you want. Wilson's fumbles. Jameis Winston shoulders the blame for loss number 4. End of story.
I want to thank you for showing up on this Sunday night to talk Bucks. You know, Bucks fans are eager to talk about Bucks. And I want to thank you for bringing up Sean Sullivan's name, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, because that reminded me. I have to go to Bill Curry Ford and get my oil changed.